It's your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
The truth, finally.
Speak up.
Finally, it's the truth. We get to it. After all these years, we've been doing our show, haven't we? But we've always been dancing around the truth. Dancing around it. Spinning lies in with things that are kind of like the truth. So you can't tell one from the other. But this, now, get ready, everybody. You're going to mainline it. It's the truth about cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Do you want
to... Concept stolen from me.
What? Oh, okay. The concept for the movie, to the truth
was
about...
stolen from me, from a okay. music video my group, the Blues Travelers, did.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Hi, it's me, John Popper, from the Blues Travelers.
Okay, I don't want that.
I'm going to be joining Jack for this episode. Perfect. Because this is a movie that's just a movie-length version of my...
hit song.
Music video for the hit song Runaround, which was featured in this movie, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that.
The 27-minute and 29-second mark, I think, as like a little fuck you to me.
Yeah.
Famous libertarian.
With just a hint of an accent?
Little bit. Yeah. I think it's largely affected.
Okay, yeah.
Because I want to seem like a little bit of like a kind of a, I want to strike a Ted Nugent figure.
Okay.
You know?
I'm pretty sure John Popper is a Midwesterner. That's my guess, if I had to guess.
Well, one of us listened to, I would say, upwards of 6 minutes of an interview with him on
YouTube. It's got a hint of an accent.
Before, it's not really an accent. It's more like an anger.
He's angry.
Is that a little bit better? Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's what
it's sort of like a Rush
rage.
Limbaugh a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Hi, Jack. It's me, famous libertarian John Popper from the Blues Travelers.
This is going to be fun.
I did a song called The Runaround. It's not important what the runaround's about. It's important what the music video's about. It's about someone pretending to be someone else.
We've talked about it. Yeah. It's a running theme.
Yeah, I think it's a...
The teeny boppers appear to be singing The Runaround, but John Popper's actually singing it in the background. And that's what this movie's about. Yeah.
Me, John Popper. There's so many fruit flies down here. It's like... like Jamie hit a body down here or something.
Is this still John Popper?
Yes, sorry. Anyway, the romance genre, which you discuss with your co-host, is famous for having a lot of...
John Popper-esque, runaround-esque
tropes, and I think it's your job on the podcast to sort of discover some of those tropes, and I think...
Yeah.
You invite me on, John Popper.
Yeah.
When the trope is the runaround.
The runaround, yes. Which you
invented.
And then
in brackets, music video.
Music video, yes.
Because the song lyrics are not relevant.
The song lyrics have nothing to do with anything. But The Truth About Cats and Dogs is a famous recreation of the classic French play.
Classic.
The Runaround.
Music
parentheses.
Video.
Music video by John Popper. And we watched it this week. Tanner watched it this morning. I watched it last night. I really liked it when it first came out, and I quite liked it now.
Yeah, you know, when I sat down to start watching it, I was like, this is one I'm not going to like, but I'm going to have to pretend to like, because people don't like it when we don't like the thing.
Yeah, while I was watching
and then
it, I thought that
by the end,
as well.
By the end, I was like, oh, no, I loved it.
It's cute. Yeah.
It was good.
It's really the only, I think, the only pure, if you're like me and you want to mainline Janine Garofalo, and I call her Mike Wien Garofalo. Yep, it's true.
Yeah.
Because she never sold out, did she?
Mike Wien Garofalo is so good.
I know. What are
I'm
you
trying
doing?
To come up with one for Uma Thurman, but it's just not coming. Her name's pretty hard to rhyme.
Uma.
The man, or... Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a famous songsmith.
Yeah. Look,
sort of a poet.
As a poet, why not just appreciate something you've been given, which is that you can think about the fact that I called Janine Garofalo my Queen Garofalo.
And that's I loved it.
Yeah, I love it too. And it's because she never sold out, except maybe with this movie. And I was going to say, if you're someone like me and what you want in life is to mainline my Queen Garofalo, this is the only movie you can really do it. She's in other stuff, but I think this is the only one where she's the...
We've seen her in other stuff.
She's in other stuff, but I think this is the only one where she's a heroine. What about that sentence felt like the pushback you gave it was merited in any way?
You're just acting like it's like drought out here for Janine Garofalo in like 1997 or whenever this movie was made.
She's in a lot of things. This is a Janine Garofalo vehicle.
It was they're like, let's try Janine Garofalo in a romantic comedy. And you know what? I thought it worked.
It's fucking great.
I thought
great.
It was good. I thought she was better than Uma Thurman in a romantic comedy.
Yeah, who's also in this, and she's also good. And a man called
A
man called Ben. I don't know if he's famous or handsome. I can't tell.
No, I've never seen him before.
Very British.
And I've never seen him since.
Yeah.
It's only been a few hours, but...
Yeah. As far as you know, that's the last you've seen of him.
Yeah.
We should say, I guess, what the film is about for folks who haven't seen it or... Run Around, parentheses, music video by John Popper and the Blues Travelers.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Yeah. You know, if pressed, I say I'm Republican, but...
Really?
You're okay.
Yeah, and you'd like to argue with people on Twitter, including some of our former colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I kind of don't want to invoke you too strongly, because you appear to be the type of dude who, like, searches your mentions and shit.
Oh, don't. Yeah, I think he like doxes people.
Yeah, don't invoke
famously
John
doxes
Popper.
People.
Yeah, too yeah. strongly. Yeah. Let's see. Good song though. What a song!
It is a good song, and
really
this movie
rules.
Is yeah. completely lifted from the yeah. Run Around music video, and they do a big middle finger to John Popper by yeah. putting the song in the video.
Yes.
Me.
So let's say it.
Okay. There's a scene in the movie where Uma Thurman sticks her finger in a turtle's butt, and they want us to believe that the turtle is, like, fine after that. Like, okay. Hale and hearty.
So when I said...
A human finger!
Yeah. When I said, so let's say it, you thought that's what I meant, I guess? That's what you were like, oh, by it, he must mean the finger in the turtle butt scene.
What else could you have meant?
I guess I meant like the broader plot of the whole movie, which does contain that scene.
Oh yeah, but let's address the
turtle butt in the room.
The important details first. How do they expect us to believe that the turtle survived a human finger being inside of it?
Now all you have to do is grab the turtle's leg, hold it steady, and give the shot.
How do I get a hold of his leg?
Very simple. You're gonna poke him in the butt with your finger.
You want me to stick my finger up the turtle?
Also, where is a turtle's butt? I thought it was at the end of its tail.
Why?
Is that ridiculous to think that?
Yes.
I had a turtle growing up. I think it pooped out of the end of its tail. No. I'm not a turtle scientist.
Clearly not.
It was a tortoise. It pooped out of the end of its tail. I swear to God. Are you going to make
same?
Me go to Google?
No, please don't, because you're going to embarrass Fine. Yourself in front of Google. And are tortoises and turtles the same? Do we have any turtle scientists who listen to the show? Now we're in trouble. Okay, folks, turtle scientists, two questions. One, is tortoise and turtle the same? Two, do tortoises poop out of their butts?
Where is a tortoise's butthole?
Ugh. You're on a list.
Okay, I'm on totallytortoise.com /tortoise-anus.html.
Is that your homepage?
Oh, okay. No, it's like a tortoise. It is a tortoise like FAQ. Like if you're like a person who has a tortoise and you have like care questions.
Yeah.
And one of the frequently asked questions is under the tortoise anus heading, and it's the only question under the tortoise anus.
There's only
heading.
One question one has.
What will happen if I stick my finger into the anus of a tortoise?
Yeah.
And it appears to be sort of a community board.
Yeah. And people have kind of uniform opinions on the topic, or?
Uh-huh. Someone, the most recent sort of contribution is, do not try it, you will lose your finger, period. It is not a myth.
You'll lose your finger. I was not expecting that.
It is not a myth.
It is not a myth. So it gets curiouser and curiouser now, because the implication is that there is what is purportedly a myth going around that you will lose your finger if you stick your finger in a tortoise's butt. But that is in fact not a myth and in fact true. Okay, I need you off the site because you've become overly interested in it and we have to describe the movie. You can respond to me if you want, but I can't have you reading the turtle forums. Just
I'm sorry. This is I don't know what I've accidentally stumbled into. I feel like I've accidentally stumbled into like some kind of ARG or something. Because this goes back to the most recent comment was from this year.
Okay.
And there's a few comments every year back to 2011.
Yeah.
And at some point, someone weighed in and said,
"This is not a myth.
When we were growing up in Africa, we used to stick our fingers in turtles' buttholes, and the turtle's butthole would contract around your finger, and sometimes it would contract so hard you lose your finger. But I think it was an exaggerated myth." And then there's a lot of discussion around that. And then the comment we landed on that sort of like,
yeah,
the little bit of like muck that like reached up and grabbed us,
yeah,
and pulled us down, is a reaction to that.
You will lose your finger. It is not a myth.
Not a myth.
And do you think that's Uma Thurman making that comment? Does it say?
Decades. Decades. People have been posting about this.
And then this irresponsible film, stolen, ripped from John Popper's and Blues Travelers' runaround music video, irresponsibly, strongly suggests to a generation of Gen X, whatever, too cool for school, 90s kids.
Yeah.
That they should be sticking their fingers in a turtle's bottom.
When did this movie come out?
90s.
I'm wondering if it is just sort of like catering to the MTV generation as they like get into their late 20s and start thinking about settling down.
And putting their finger in a turtle's butt? I need you to finish the thought in a way that makes sense to me.
It's like Janine Garofalo, and it's about like cool. It's about like, you know, like Daria types.
Yeah.
'96. No, it's like the prime of Daria types.
Yeah.
They were just giving it a shot. They're like, well, we got a whole generation of Daria types. Like, what if we make them a romance movie? And no one wanted it. Except me now in 2022.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we say it, what happens in it?
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo is, she's got a radio
advice.
I
thought we were back to doing a timer.
We can if you want. I don't give a shit. Swear to God, I do not care. You want me to do it? I'll fucking do it.
Yep. Hit me.
Time me.
Oh, you want me to time you?
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
60 seconds. I don't care.
Second. Okay. Stop being so cocky.
I'm ready. I was born ready for this. Yeah.
Get set. Go.
Janine Garofalo has a radio show about cats, dogs, and other animals. She's a veterinarian. It's going really well until a handsome man named Ben, is the actor's name, calls her and says, "I'm having trouble with this dog. He's a photographer. He's doing a shoot with the dog. Dog has roller skates on. It's going badly." Janine Garofalo talks him through the problem, and then it goes really well, and he later asks her out on a date. Janine panics and asks her neighbor, Uma Thurman, who's beautiful, leggy blonde, to pretend to be her because Janine is too scared to show her own face. That date goes well, and then the rest of the movie is about whether this handsome British man named Ben is really in love with Janine Garofalo.
You still have like 20 seconds.
From the radio,
so you slow down.
Or in fact, in love with Uma Thurman, and then Uma Thurman herself falls in love with Ben, and it doesn't go super well, and then she feels bad, and then Janine Garofalo and Ben have phone sex, and then they do get together in the end, and she has a cat, and he has a dog, and they love each other in the end.
Yeah, was it the episode that Aaron LaRosa was on where, like, the floodgates had been kind of blasted wide open on finger blasting?
Okay, let me try to unpack that. Okay.
We see a lot of different kinds of sex scenes in a lot of these romance films and books.
Yeah.
And recently we were reading a book, and I think it was our first sort of like foray into finger blasting.
Aaron LaRosa's excellent novel For Butter or Worse, which was featured on a couple episodes ago, does feature a famous 69ing scene.
69ing, right. Yeah. So is this our... There's a phone sex scene where it's mutual masturbation.
There's a very, very dirty and very naughty and quite lengthy phone sex scene in this.
Really long, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the turtle finger.
Yeah, and there's finger blasting with turtles as well. A different kind.
Both of those hurdles have been cleared now.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking about the finger, whether we had done that one before, because the turtle scene.
And is this true? Do not try finger blasting because you will lose your finger.
It's not a myth.
It's not a myth.
Certainly not a myth. Good job on the read through.
Yeah, thanks. I thought I did a really excellent job.
Anything you miss? Anything I want to call you out on? I don't think so. There's Uma Thurman has a bad boyfriend.
Oh yeah, he's awful. There's a funny scene where she like he's terrible. He's just like constantly negging her and is just obviously like a horrible man. And she like finds out that he's a dick from reading a like Cosmo article that's like, is your boyfriend an asshole?
Turns out Roy is a loser.
Tell me something I don't know.
Oh, I was kidding. I'm sorry.
You are no longer allowed to read this destructive literature.
Don't read that.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Jack, because
yeah.
I have a quiz here.
Okay, perfect. Oh, wonderful.
Take this quiz to find out if he's a total scrub.
Oh, great. And is it
and
about
it's on,
me?
On thequiz.com. Yeah, I looked up, I did a Google search for quiz.
Okay.
Is my boyfriend a loser? And I think it's been sort of contemporized.
Okay.
So I think I'm doing it like as though I'm doing it about you.
Okay. So you're asking me the questions and I'm going to try to be honest, but it's about me. Am I like this? And then we'll see whether I'm a total scrub.
I'm going to take the quiz.
Yeah, okay.
And the person I am focused on
is me.
Up
okay.
here?
Got it.
Is you.
Okay. Great. Perfect. And what? I'll just sit back on the cut
there
here?
Is an SEO friendly, I would say, 3.5 paragraphs of text up at the top. All about like
how to
I don't
find
know.
If your boyfriend is asshole.
Yep.
Is boyfriend asshole? What time is the Super
Which
Bowl?
Of these words best Which of these words best describes your man? Ambitious, okay. Content, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Dreamer, purposeful. Mm-hmm. Content,
what about content
sounds about
though?
Right.
Content.
It might say content.
Yeah, because yeah, that's what I'm constantly slinging content. So I think we both agree that content is right for me there.
And then there's yet again another like SEO-friendly block of text down here.
Okay.
Under the first question.
Yeah, good.
How often does your man cook?
Every night.
He's the main cook in our home.
That's true.
Okay.
Every night, I cook dinner for the family.
So the thumbnail for this one is Randy Marsh from South Park. And there is another SEO-friendly block of text underneath all about Randy Marsh.
Good site.
Is your man currently employed?
Mm.
Tough one. There's only two options, yes
or
no.
What are the options? Yes or no. I'll let you answer that because it's kind of a thorny question.
All right. Question 4.
Yeah.
How recent ago was your last date night? Mm. Wow, when did I last see you? Live show.
I can tell you June? How recent ago my last date night was with my wife, if that helps.
No, I'm thinking about...
Okay.
You've
got
set
me
in my
in
mind.
I got it.
Sometime in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Does your man use labels to describe people?
Sure. Who does it?
So there's only three options.
Okay.
You said yes, like pretty confidently.
Yeah.
So the three options are yes, but tame ones like jock or nerd.
Okay.
Which is true.
Yeah, certainly.
And then there's no, he does not, which is not
that's not,
not
on the
true
table.
Of you.
Yeah.
The only other option is yes, he uses slurs and labels.
Okay. I think probably the first, well, it's your quiz, but I don't think I use slurs as well. As
you said you use labels.
Right. So it sounds like we've got a clear answer.
Okay. Which of the following words would you use to describe your man's temper?
Okay.
Frightening, relaxed, irritated, or irked.
Man, he's got a relaxed temper is not a thing someone says. He's got a really irked temper.
Let me see if this SEO paragraph makes it any clearer. No. Oh, there is a resource I can reach out to, though.
Okay. Phone a friend.
I guess you seem pretty irritated now.
Okay.
Does he test boundaries? Two, and there's just two options again, and both of them have an exclamation point.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're just taking this quiz by yourself. You're not revealing which answers you're giving. I guess I want to know if I'm a scrub at the end, though, I guess. How many more questions do we have?
Testing boundaries. At first I thought, oh, I don't know. This is a lot.
Okay.
I thought we were going to be pretty close to done by now, and I'm scrolling down now, and there's over 30 questions.
Okay. Could we maybe speed it up?
Yeah. I'll just start going through some of these. Let me scroll back up to question 8, which is where we were.
Okay, perfect.
How often does your man shower? Feels like an important one.
Yeah.
Once a day?
I would say more than that. Often I just like will be at a loose end and not know what to do. And so I'll just be like, maybe I'll take another shower.
All right. I'm going to go back up and say twice a day.
Yeah. But it's like it's not about getting clean. It's just like, you know, it would be different if there was water.
How would you describe your man's facial hair? Right now?
Yeah.
Some stubble. The other options are clean shaven mountain man beard or mustache. And they've misspelled it. Unique is how I would describe our sex life. Is your man condescending? Yes. He puts in enough effort. Financially responsible? Yeah. Romantic interest. Bland, curious, perfect, or inconsistent?
I'd say bland.
Going with inconsistent.
Okay.
Is your man clingy? Yes. Is your man too close to his parents? Yes.
Okay.
Is your man a white knight? Yes. Does your man care about current events? Yes. Did your man vote in the 2016 election? Yes. Wait, no. Yes?
I wasn't a citizen yet.
No. Pick a word to describe your man. Affectionate, tender, cold, indifferent. Indifferent. Pick a word to describe your man. Empathetic.
Okay.
Apathetic.
Some kind of pathetic.
And is your man too negative? Yes.
That's it?
Here we go. See your result.
Am I a scrub? Do you have to like pay to see the result? I bet you have to pay to see the result. If you do, I'm going to make you pay.
He's definitely a scrub.
What? Because I didn't vote in the 2016 election. I wasn't a citizen. I became a citizen after the 2016 election.
Can I read the flavor text? Maybe it'll make this a little bit more clear.
Okay.
It says, he's definitely a scrub. And then there's a picture of Chris Griffin standing on stage in a crown.
From The Family Guy.
Yeah. And I guess that's supposed to like be you.
Yeah. So now they're just like, let's talk about Chris Griffin. It feels like they lost their train of thought here.
Chris Griffin may be young, but I think we can agree he's definitely a scrub. He lacks intelligence, hygiene, common sense.
I shower twice a day.
His only useful asset is between his legs. You may want to choose someone else.
Also, like, I haven't seen Family Guy in a while, but, like, is that true that, like, his dick is, like, a big part of, like, who he is?
I don't know. I've only seen the first 3 seasons, like any reasonable person. And okay, I don't remember it from that.
I'm a scrub.
Yeah, sorry. And you would have been a loser in this. Now, I don't know if the sex bugs in the bedpots will realize this. They probably didn't because you're such an artful editor. But
yeah.
That quiz was actually 30 questions long.
Yeah.
And Jack and I went through with it.
Yeah, we did the whole thing. I don't know how much I left in there. If I'm lazy, it was a lot.
And he cut out, but he probably cut out a lot too.
Tough to say.
Should we do it for me too?
Oh, God.
The full 30 question quiz, or are we satisfied? You know, we're like really close friends. Well, I think if you're a scrub, I'm probably a scrub too.
If I'm a scrub, you're a scrub. That's from The Notebook.
yeah.
And I actually have a couple of other tests for you.
Okay.
So we can do those instead.
Sure. Yeah.
I've pulled 2 tests from the movie. I've got the cheese test and I've got the carnage test. Do you want to just do both of them?
Can I ask about the carnage test real quick?
Yeah, the carnage test is something that Uma Thurman does in the film.
Is it carnage trivia? Trivia about the Marvel's comic character, Carnage?
Unfortunately, no. Though I think let's state it as given that you'd probably do a pretty good job on that test.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How quick are they? Can I just pop them both in right now?
Yeah, super fast. The cheese test is exactly 30 seconds, and the carnage test is probably less than 30 seconds.
Okay.
So the cheese test is as follows. I'm going to describe it to you. So about 40 minutes into the movie, Janine Garofalo and Uma Thurman both go on a date with handsome man Ben, whose actor's name is Ben, and I forgot what the character's name is.
I don't think they ever said his name.
But he thinks that Uma Thurman is Janine Garofalo. Everybody following me? If you don't, go watch Blues Traveler.
Yeah, go watch the music video for Run Around. You'll get it.
And Janine Garofalo is just her like tag-along friend. I think she's given herself a fake name, which is Donna.
Yes.
Uma Thurman briefly leaves, and Donna is left alone with a handsome, nameless British man. And he asks her what she does, and she has to make something up on the fly and then talk about it. I timed it for exactly 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
The thing that she says she does is, I make cheese. And then he's like, oh, tell me more. And then it's literally exactly 30 seconds before Uma Thurman comes back and rescues her.
So what do you do, Donna? Do you work at the radio station?
I make cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah.
Really, I've never met a cheesemaker before. So what sort?
Goat cheese.
Oh, that's the stuff that smells of vomit.
No, that's Parmesan.
Yeah, of course.
Mine's more of a fromage, really. And it comes from the south of France, the Pyrenees, where I have acquired a number of goats through a freakish inheritance. And occasionally I take trips out there, and sometimes Abby accompanies me to check on the general health and well-being of my goats.
Really?
Yeah. Her cheese balls make excellent Christmas gifts.
So, I'm just going to set a timer, ask you what you do, and you can tell me what it is. Are you ready? You have exactly 30 seconds.
Wait, am I making cheese, or do I have to just make up a story?
It can be anything, but you have to talk about it for 30 seconds. Are you ready? What do you do, Donna?
Glad you asked. I'm the lore master for Warhammer 40K. where to begin, really, is the question. Well, I guess it starts with the Horus Heresy, really, unless you want to try to find the connections back between like Warhammer Fantasy or Age of Sigmar and the modern age. But I think really the modern age of Warhammer starts with the Horus Heresy. Emperor slain exists on his throne, powers the whole like psychic network.
And then I'm back. Then, it's me, your friend who's rescuing you. His cheese balls make excellent gifts. That was good. I think you passed that test. Janine Garofalo also does a really good job. She goes on like a tangent about goats.
Except she has to then own up, like she has to like own the lie of being like a Swiss goat farmer.
Yeah, but she crushes it, much as you did with the Horus Heresy. Your second test, Uma Thurman is trying to be a newscaster.
Is it believable? You look at me and you're like, that guy could be a Warhammer lore master.
100%. I was watching you and in that moment, I fully believed it.
Wow. That means a lot.
Uma Thurman is trying to be a newscaster, and she has been given the following script, which she must read in a newscaster.
This is my Boom Goes the Dynamite moment.
Yeah. So this is your Boom Goes the Dynamite moment. Tanner, welcome to the big audition. You want to be newscaster for KXPR radio here in Austin. And let's hear it. We've given you a little script. And can you do it?
79 people drowned and another 200 were injured when a passenger ferry caught fire last night off the coast of Scotland. Stymied by a dense fog, rescuers could only hear the desperate screams of the victims as their four-mile journey turned into a tragic and watery end.
Okay. So I think you made the same mistake there, if I may give you a note, as Uma Thurman did.
79 people drowned and another 200 were Wait. Okay. Cool. 79 people drowned and another 200 were injured when a passenger ferry caught fire last night just off the coast of Scotland. Stymied by a dense fog, rescue workers could only hear the desperate screams of the victims as their four-mile journey turned into a tragic and watery end.
That was good. That was really good, but you might want to make the carnage a little less upbeat.
Which is, read that in a newscaster-y voice.
But yeah.
Not one that's appropriate to the subject matter.
More shock jock. 79 people drowned and another 200 were injured when a passenger ferry caught fire last night off the coast of Scotland. And then there's like bagpipe sounds.
You and Uma did about the same level of job. And
I want you to do it. Can you think you can do it better?
Yeah, definitely 100%.
I went for stock newsman. Yeah. I went for AM radio newscaster just reading the news.
Yeah, I could 100% do it better than you.
That first one was a genuine attempt.
No, I know. I believe it. It just like, it was the wrong kind of voice.
I mean, if I do somber, it's just going to sound like I'm acting.
Well, that's what I'm about to do.
Well, let's hear it.
79 people drowned and another 200 were injured when a passenger ferry caught fire last night off the coast of Scotland. Stymied by a dense fog, rescuers could only hear the desperate screams of the victims as their four-mile journey turned into a tragic and watery end.
Here's the problem.
Perfect.
No, it was, here's the problem, is what? You went too far, because I think if you're going to go, you either have to go solemn or you have to go British. If you go solemn and British, it doesn't work. Any British newscaster would state it like very like matter-of-factly.
I think that was perfect. I threaded the needle. Do you want to do a quick name generator or do you want to get out of here?
Let's do a quick name generator, I think. Yeah, please.
Okay, so at some point early on in their courtship, the handsome British nameless man does give Uma Thurman, thinking that she is, in fact, Janine Garofalo. It's complicated. Watch the runaround video if you don't understand. A book, and the book that he gives her is... Oh, no, he reads her a sexy book over the phone. He gives her a book, and he reads her a sexy book over the phone. The book that he gives her is The Letters That Simone de Beauvoir Gave to Sartre.
Yeah.
And the book that he reads to her over the phone is Roland Barthes' Camera Lucida.
Ooh.
So I guess the...
Sounds sexy.
Name generator is What Would You... Read to your new lover over the phone.
Yeah.
So you just got to find a book for you.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And who's my lover?
New lover, sexy lover, whoever you want. It's Janine Garofalo. Let's just make it easy.
Oh, okay.
And you're about to do sexy phone stuff. Guys, skip past that scene in the movie. It's too much. I had to cover my eyes.
The sex scene?
Yeah. The sex phone sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we find a book?
I think the Christian Reading Room has free books.
Do you want to go? Does Audible like give you suggestions?
Oh, yeah. Audible will give me suggestions, kind of based
on
what I
listened to
last.
So why don't you go to your Audible account, and then I'll go to mine, too. And then we'll just go to our suggestions, and we'll count down to the day of our birth.
And this is something we're having phone sex to?
This is the sexy book that we're going to read to our lover as a preamble to phone
ending,
sex.
Ending in phone sex.
If it goes well.
Okay, and my top suggestion is Veteran Voices, Stories Honoring Lives of Service.
That's perfect. Say it again.
Here, I'll send you the link, but my top suggestion was a editorial called Veteran Voices, Stories Honoring Lives of Service.
Okay, that's a little weird.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
I guess. So, and then... What do I do? This is the book I have to masturbate to? Noam Chomsky and Vijay Prashad's The Withdrawal, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, and the Fragility of U.S. Power?
I guess so, yeah. That's your second top suggestion?
That is what was nestled within the editorial list.
Yeah, my top suggestion is also Veteran Voices. honor the stories. Oh, no, look here, underneath that it says recommended for you. So I'm going to go to that.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness. I did not want to have phone sex to that.
Yeah.
Ooh, Matthew Perry's biography. Autobiography.
That sounds great. So I'm just going to do this the way we're supposed to, which is, and folks, if you have an Audible account, you can do this. If you don't, look, there will be other
names.
What's
name stopping
you? Yeah.
What a great service. I wish they would advertise on our program.
Okay, get ready for a very sexy phone experience with your man, Jack. And yes, I am a Chris Griffin-like scrub. But
yeah.
Why are you still with me? Because I make it up to you by getting on the phone when I'm traveling for work and reading to you passages from Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story by Bono.
Wow. I guess I'll have to go with my second choice then. Because I was also going to go with Surrender, 40 Stories by Bono. But I guess I'll go with the latest...
Well, you just got to scroll to the day of your birth. What are you, the 24th?
Yeah, it's a long way to read or count. All right. Okay.
What is it?
It's Atomic Habits. Tiny changes, remarkable results. An easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones by James Clear. Read by the author.
You know, or by you.
I think this is because I listened to... Well, it's either because I listened to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
Or 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson.
Did you really?
No. It's just... That's with like what other people have read. And I have listened to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People for a book club.
Folks can play along at home. If you don't have an Audible account, just use, I guess, something else.
Just get one. It's a fabulous service.
Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, please.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still... pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, time for a hit segment we always do at the end of the break, which means, Tanner, you have to go, and you're not welcome here anymore.
No!
Arbiter Tanner, welcome back from the distant dystopian future. It's nice to have you.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
Yeah.
Pleased to be here. Chilly down here in the basement, and there's lots of fruit flies.
Yeah, it does seem like. I don't know what that's all about. Tanner seemed confused, too, so.
They're all over the place. Something... A plant must have died.
Okay, fair enough. You know why we brought you here? It's not for banter.
We don't have plants in the future. They all died.
Yeah.
We killed them with our hubris. Go ahead.
We brought you here to review the reviews, as it were. Who watches The Watchmen? Who reviews the reviewers? Who talks about whether the Rotten Tomatoes reviews are good or not? And it's you,
me,
Tanner. And so I've collected a few reviews ranging from quite positive to quite negative about this film, The Truth About Cats and Dogs, starring Jenny Garofalo, Uma Thurman, and Ben, of some man named Ben. And it's our hit segment. It's called On the One Hand. Mm. The first review that I have for you to think about is from Myra M. It is a very positive 5-star review of this film, which she wrote on May 26, 2008, and she wrote the following. Like it a lot.
Pretty good. What's that from? Seinfeld?
I don't know. There's a lot of O's. I liked it, too. I liked her review.
Yeah, I like it a loot. Well, I guess if there's that many
it could be a loot.
It would be a loot.
Yeah. This is a segment within a segment we like to call On the Fence Hand.
Yeah.
Where we talk about the middling reviews, and I actually have a few of these. The first of those is from Michael C., who gave it 2 stars on October 26, 2009. Michael C. says of this film, "It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure this movie's mediocre."
I don't think it's not fair.
I think it's not fair. He can't remember. He thinks that when he saw it, he thought it was mediocre, and he's just trying to like up his review count. Like, watch the movie again or don't, dude.
I think two things are true of this. Yeah. I think if you haven't seen the movie in a while and you're thinking back on it, your memory of it would be pretty mediocre.
It's
like there's not watching it. It's good, but there's not a lot of memorable scenes except for turtle fingering one.
There are two finger blasting scenes and they're both quite memorable.
The other thing that is true is that I don't remember. Go ahead.
Sean W. gives this film 2 stars on March 17th, 2009 with the following review. The truth about cats.
And?
That's what he said is the truth
How
about
cats. How many stars?
Cats. 2 stars. And he's he put that in title case in case that's...
Oh, I see. He's reviewing cats.
That's possible.
The truth about cats is that there are 2 stars.
He felt that the film was truthful in its treatment of cats, but not so much about the dogs. And that's
honestly,
why he couldn't in good conscience give it all 5 stars.
Sort of fair.
Yeah.
There's only one dog in the movie and he's highly trained and there's like 1,000 cats and they're just like cats. They're like
they're just kind of catting around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Claudia R. gives this film 2 stars, November 16th, 2008. Claudia R. says of this film, not that bad, but I didn't like the cast and the story too much.
Okay, what did you like?
Claudia. What did you like, Claudia?
Like the directing?
You didn't like the people in the movie or the story of the movie. What did you like?
The cinematography.
You like cats and dogs?
She's just an appreciator of like the mise-en-scene, you know? Yeah.
I guess so.
She likes a set dresser.
This is a segment within a segment we like to call On the Other Hand, where we talk about the negative reviews of the movie. And sorry to be a bummer, but we have to do it.
Okay.
On July 1st, 2009, Savannah gave this film 1.5 stars with the following withering review. Strange and so not about animals.
Well, that's not true at all, Savannah. Did you watch the movie? Oh, maybe it's a Savannah.
It's like an actual prairie.
She's like, where are the like mountain lions?
Yeah. And like coyotes.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
That makes sense. All her reviews of all movies say that. Except for like Planet Earth, where she's like, great, nailed it. Keelan C. gave this film 0.5 stars, 1/2 of a star on January 23rd, 2009, with the following all caps review. I almost dumped my ex after seeing this with her. She loved it. I'm glad she was the one who got away.
Wow. The one who got away.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Notably the seeing. I think he's deliberately not included a G there in a way that just feels pointed. But then it's like, you're glad she got away, but she's also the one who got away, which is someone that you're traditionally not glad that they got away. And was it because of the movie?
I think it's just a lack of other... I think, like, she is the one who got away.
Okay, yeah, there's no other... He's there, too.
No, as far as I know, there's only one.
Yeah.
He's just very lonely.
Finally, Amanda C. on June 21st, 2008, gave this film 1/2 of a star and said the following thing. I don't like this one. I always get excited because I always think this is the cats versus dogs movie. LOL.
Yes. Yes.
Which one is that?
And is it maybe, is it perhaps a prequel? Oh, you haven't seen, what's it called? I think it might just be called Cats versus Dogs.
Okay.
And it's sort of it's a 2001
okay.
kind of action thriller.
Okay.
about sort of a warfare in a house between cats and dogs.
Okay.
And it's pretty like high budget, I think.
So Amanda Seyfried is constantly having the experience of getting excited that this is that. Watching
I should say family action thriller.
Okay, yeah.
it's CGI cats and dogs.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Who do you think gave the fairest minded review?
Savannah.
Savannah crushed it.
Like, totally fair.
Yeah, it's not.
If that's all you know.
If that's all you know. Fair yeah. enough. All right, Arbiter Tanner, thank you for joining us. We'll send you back to the hellscape from whence you came. Tanner, welcome home. Fruit flies Hello. Seem to be gone.
Oh, did they go into the far future?
Yeah.
<Ooh-ooh. laughs> I think Ray Bradbury has something to say about that.
Yeah, that could be bad.
Yeah,
it could be like a The Fly like scenario too. If they got like caught into the time stream as Arbiter Tanner is getting reconstituted.
Oh,
in
and
the future.
He's like a little yeah. like annoying fruit fly now.
Yeah, you never know. You know, something to add to the lore.
Yeah,
we've got about 10 minutes left. Normally, we like to review the film, but I was thinking we could try something a little different today.
Okay,
this came up in our discussion of.
I just said, yeah. you know what? I might have to go back and retake that quiz, and I hope we have time for it, because I think when it's asked if he likes to try new things, I said no.
Yeah, not really. Well, that's normally true.
Yeah.
Today, I want to try something a little bit different. It came up in our conversation with Aaron LaRosa, author of Can't Find the Butter Man. Get it at a bookstore near you.
Not what it's called. It's called The Butter or Worse.
We have abandoned our hit segment where we come up with a romance novel for a couple reasons. One of those reasons is I think the novel that we were coming up with had become increasingly, and I'm just going to say it, convoluted.
Okay.
And so it was becoming more and more difficult to like advance the plot beyond the first couple pages because we kept weighing it down with more backstory. I'm just going to say
it. I thought we were just doing world building.
But I think we have an opportunity here to, we've been watching enough romance movies and rom-coms. We have an opportunity build our own romance script.
I think, and I would hate to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And I don't want to throw away all the good stuff we had.
Okay.
And I just want to head you off at the pass because I'm worried you're going to say like, oh, we should start fresh. But no, I think we should liberally adapt.
Okay.
Love in the time.
Okay. This is a segment that we like to call... Love in the time of horses.
Were you going to suggest we start over?
I was going to suggest we completely start over, but no.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So we're making a movie called Love in the Time of Horses. And we got to start again. Think about when they did... Pride and Prejudice on Fire Island. You barely even noticed that it was Pride and Prejudice.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We take the shell of what we had.
Yeah. So we
and
got
we
horses.
Fill it with Fire Island.
Yeah. But so what we like to do is take what we've learned from the movie we watched to start. And I thought this would be a good one to start because it's a classic rom-com. It's based on one of the classic love stories of all time. The Run Around music video
from Blues Traveler.
From Blues Travelers. Mm-hmm. And
you want me back? You want me back?
Is that what he says?
No, that's what I'm saying to you. I'm back.
You're back. Oh, no, I don't
Blues
want you
Travelers
back.
John Popper.
Yeah, no, we don't want Blues Travelers John Popper back necessarily. Maybe that's a good element. The element of wooing someone on behalf of someone else. That we can take.
Let's set up some ground rules.
Because yeah, okay.
I can't skydive without a parachute, Jack.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
I need some bumpers to bounce off of.
Yeah.
So I want to set up some sort of like fundamental rules for the universe.
Okay.
One.
Yeah.
Finger banging a turtle will not kill it in our universe.
Okay. So if it comes up.
If it comes up, yeah.
If it comes up in the screenplay, the lore of the universe is that, well, can I add to that?
Please.
It will not kill the turtle and it will not take off part of your finger.
I don't know.
Or do you think people will think it's unscientific?
I like having a little built-in mythology, so I think it should be a little bit mysterious whether or not it takes off your finger.
Okay. You know? But we're not saying we want that in the film. We're just saying if it comes up, or you know what, in the universe of the film, those things are true, whether it comes up or not. So it'll be like an IMDb trivia point.
It's the biggest and toppest thing on the whiteboard right now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it feels like it's going
It's
going
to be tough for it to not come up, but we'll see.
All right. Okay, so do you like the idea of using the rom-com trope for our film? Is it the film is called Love in the Time of Horses?
The runaround trope.
Do we want to update it? Because the Fire Island movie wasn't called Pride and Prejudice. It was called Fire Island. So we could call this Love in the Time of something else, just as kind of a nod. Turtles.
Well, what replaced the horse? Car. Oh, yeah. Turtles is good. Love in the Time of Turtles. And that it does sort of like, it's a little bit like skating a little close to that thin ice sign.
What about finger blasting in the Time of Turtles? Is that getting even too, that's going beyond the sign, isn't it?
I don't know if that's going to clear the sensor panel.
All right, let's pull that back a little bit.
Banging in the Time of Turtles?
What about just like Turtle Time?
Turtle Time's not bad.
The truth about
You're
turtles?
You're not worried about skating too close to that rule
No, I don't
A1?
Want to skate there at all.
Well, it's too late. You've set us on the path. So
Truth About Turtles.
The Truth About Turtles. Okay, sure.
Okay.
That's good.
Truth About Turtles, that's good. So we need a heroine.
Well, let's think about who the Uma Thurman and Janine Garofalo of today are.
Okay, perfect. Who's Daria
we have
now? Daria now is April Ludgate from Parks and Rec.
No, wrong.
Yes!
That was like 10 years ago.
Now is 10 years ago as far as I'm concerned.
Who's the Daria of now?
God, my answer was exactly right. And she's still like very popular and famous.
What was the last thing you saw her in?
She's in a new movie out. She's being someone in The Thing right now. I just read
it. She's like an adult. She just played a mom in Chucky. She's not the cool like Daria teen anymore.
Well, neither's Janine Garofalo in this. She's like a 20-something.
Okay, fine. Who's
I don't care. You pick someone else.
I didn't say who's the Daria of now. I said who's the Janine Garofalo of now.
Right, and it's her. April Ludgate. What's that actor's name?
I don't know.
Yeah, so April Ludgate.
Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
Okay. And so then Aubrey Plaza's in our movie?
She's
attached?
It's an Aubrey Plaza-like character.
Okay.
It's just snarky. Do we do snark in the aughts, in the nows, in the teens? No. No snark.
Pure sincerity. Like, oozing. Dangerous sincerity.
Okay, so scratch that.
If you're not sincere, you're all right. Canceled.
So we've got a turtle scientist. Does that seem fine?
Okay.
A sincere turtle scientist.
Hyper-sincere
turtle
scientist, yes.
Yes. That much is true. She's writing her thesis on whether or not, what happens.
I want her in the field. I don't want to do that. I don't want the entire movie taking place in a lab, Jack.
Okay, fine.
What is this, Resident Evil? Let's get her out in the Galapagos.
She's gone to the Galapagos. That's perfect.
Perfect.
This is great.
We'll do the production in Galapagos,
She's gone to
too,
the Galapagos
we'll get a trip there.
To find out the truth about turtles.
Yes. And her number one A1 question, Jack?
Yeah, but it's only hinted at.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Oblique.
Oblique. Yeah. We know it. We know it. You know what they say when you're writing is you give your character a secret.
Yeah.
But only you know it. That's the secret.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, she's trying to figure out some stuff about turtles. Truth about.
Oh, what are you going to Galapagos for? Learning the
truth about turtles. Good.
What do you mean? Can you say it less obliquely? No.
Well, that's about as obliquely as I can say it. Then we need a love interest. And it doesn't need to be a man. Guess what? It's the fucking 90s, whatever it is now.
It doesn't have to be a man because it's the 90s now. And it doesn't have to be anyone we've ever seen before.
We're imagining Aubrey Plaza for the turtle scientist. So who are we imagining for our love interest?
Thinking who else would be on Galapagos Island? Probably another researcher.
Okay,
And I'm guessing maybe a senior professor.
Okay, who are some professory types? Oh, you know what? And I should say this now. Jamie Foxx is in this movie. And we haven't mentioned it because
he's only in it for like a total of like 4 minutes.
Yeah. He has like two lines.
Yeah, he's, I don't, it was also like 96. Wasn't he pretty popular by then?
I don't think so. His whole character, the whole point of his character is to, like, when the handsome, nameless British man is like, man, I really like Janine Garofalo, but Uma Thurman, who I think is Janine Garofalo, is acting weird. Jamie Foxx is always like, she's hot, don't worry about it. That's like his whole, his entire role in the film.
I'm just confused. One minute she's one thing, and the next minute she's something else completely.
Yeah, but you know, women are like that, though.
No, but I mean, there's something off balance about her. You know, on the radio, she's confident and articulate, and then you get her in person, and she's just, I don't know, she's scatty.
Oh, she's scatty?
Yeah.
Anybody that fine, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. He also reveals the big secret of the movie.
Yeah.
But after it's already been revealed.
So we need a professor type.
Professorly. Who's got like a big gray beard?
Gandalf. Ian McKellen? Yeah.
Yeah. Ian McKellen. Okay.
I think that's going to be an age difference problem.
Well, I'm not the one who set the movie on Galapagos Island. So he's sort of like an aging professor.
Who plays him? There's an X-Men movie where it's Gandalf in the past. Who plays that one?
James McAvoy.
Okay, can we have that?
I guess.
Everybody knows that that's Gandalf in the past, right?
How come when I registered an age issue that April Ludgate is like a late 30s mom now in movies?
Yeah.
We just blew past it. But suddenly I match her up with love interest Ian McKellen.
And I don't like it.
And you're all hot and bothered.
Well, we're not getting these actors anyway. It's just who we imagine. So if you want to imagine Ian McKellen, you can. I don't care.
James McAvoy.
He's on a boat, and they're going to be rival researchers, turtle researchers, aren't they?
Well, maybe he's going there to research like a much less appreciated and like less popular like kind of frog. And he's very like, he's got sort of a complex about it.
That's great.
And if you lick it, it gets you high. And he's got like a research assistant who's like super into that. And that's why he's going, and he's like the comic relief. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's so good.
Good movie.
Yeah. Okay. So, folks, that's where we're going to leave that for now. Somebody fucking make a wiki or something, because I need to remember all this shit as we build this film.
Oh, it's not a new film each week?
We can do a new film each week if you want.
So it's about two turtle scientists. Well, sorry, Jesus, now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
A turtle scientist and a frog scientist going to the Galapagos Island to study together. And they're just sort of like, there's some tension between them.
Yeah.
Often cut by this sort of like bumbling research assistant sidekick who's just going out to get stoned on frog licking.
Yeah.
I guess she needs a friend. I guess we can explore that next week.
Yeah, we'll give her a friend. We'll give her an Uma Thurman type friend.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today, Tanner. I'd like to thank you very much for bearing with us this week.
You are welcome.
I'd like to thank the Bug Babies and the Sex Pots and the Baby Bees for bearing with us this week. We do love and kiss you all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd like to remind folks that you must indeed subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We talk about TGIF shows, and it's good. And you have to join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And recommend the show to a friend. Why not? Just do it.
Why not?
Say it.
Yeah.
Say the show to someone. Say it. Do it now.
Say it. Yeah. Look at whoever's closest to you right now.
Yeah.
Say the show. And if you don't know them, get their attention first.
Yeah. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a film. The film that we watched was called The Truth About Cats and Dogs, starring my queen Garofalo and Uma Thurman.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and
I had next an week, hour to come up with something and I didn't.
Next week, you're allowed to pick three films.
You my woman?
No. Sure. Yeah. Starring my queen, Garofalo, and Yuma Woman. Yuma. It's not as good as my thing.
No. Yours is really good.
You are allowed, if you would like, to choose three films, and I have to pick one of the ones that you pick for our next movie.
Okay. Here are your options. Just Right.
Just Right.
WRIGHT, 2010. It's Queen Latifah and Common. He is a basketball star, and I think she is his publicist.
Okay.
Your second option is Good Luck Chuck, Jessica Alba, Dane Cook.
Oh, God, Jesus. What are you trying to do?
And your third option is The Breakup, Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Oh, that's a classic.
Hello, hello, Miles. Do you want to come down and be on the podcast?
These are all widely hated movies.
I literally just chose them at random. I searched best rom-coms of the 2000s. Hey, Coco Man, you want to come down? I'm recording my show. Do you want to come be on it? What do you want to talk about?
Nothing.
Nothing? Our listeners haven't heard your voice in a long time. Will you come talk?
No.
No? Who are you dressed as today? There's no, it's just Jack. It's my friend Jack. Do you want to come say hi to him?
No. I'm here to look for a new toy.
You came down here to look for a toy? All right. I'll be up in just a minute, okay? Hey, wait, will you go upstairs, please?
No, I came down.
Well, you have two options. You can come hang out with me until I'm done, or you can go back upstairs.
All right, I just quickly need your help.
Yeah.
Hey, Miles. So you've picked three widely hated movies. I think yes. I've narrowed it down.
Okay.
Here's what The Breakup says in its Rotten Tomatoes reviews. The anti-romantic comedy lacks both laughs and insight, resulting in an odd and unsatisfying experience. Mm. I think that's not going to be that fun to talk about.
Hi, Jack.
Hi. Hi, Miles. How are you?
Good.
What did you dress as for Halloween?
A truck.
A truck? That's so cool. Do you know what Cyril, my son, dressed as? He dressed as Spider-Man. Do you know about Spider-Man?
I have a Spider-Man.
You have a Spider-Man?
I got a Spider-Man jacket.
Oh, that's very cool. Who's your favorite superhero?
It's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man? Yeah, that's a good one. Mine is Doctor Strange. Do you know about Doctor Strange?
He doesn't. So what are you thinking? You don't want to talk about The Breakup?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So we have two choices. Good Luck Chuck is even more roundly hated on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's
5%.
When you're not doing it, you turn it off.
Yeah, sometimes.
The review is, a shortage of laughs and an undercurrent of mean-spiritedness undermine Good Luck Chuck, squandering a decent premise on gross-out humor and shop-worn slapstick.
Okay.
So that's roundly hated, and then Just Right looks like it might be kind of fun. So the question is, and I'll put it to you, is it more interesting to do something that's kind of fun or something that is absolutely vilified?
Huh. I don't know. I guess we'd probably have to go to the iTunes charts and look at what the top movie podcasts are all about, if they're about movies that are kind of fun or movies that are widely vilified.
All right, fine. Next week, we're going to be talking about Good Luck Chuck. You do not have to watch it. We will do it. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring. Will you say my name is Miles?
My name is Miles. Happy childhood friends.